The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us on the second part of Dailies today. We usually start Daily today as at 6:15. That's right. That's when we start usually, and then we conclude at 8 o'clock, starting from 7:34, the second part. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
Thank you all for joining us. You can watch live right now on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms. Facebook, YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Let's start with the Punch. Yes, page 13 of the Punch has a story here that says, 2023, Aisha Buhari invites Atiku, Tinubu, Oshibajo, Saraki, others.
First of all, because of those who have divided some of us into healers and wailers, I don't know why that came about. But the critics of those who criticize what the government does sometimes, let me establish one fact. Aisha Buhari has a right, she has a right, constitutional right, to host anybody to dinner. But because she is the first lady, because of the position that she occupies, We usually beg for some sensitivity in the things that are done in this regard. Aisha Buhari wants to break fast, and now she has invited some of the aspirants. I don't know the basis for which they are chosen, but it appears these aspirants are chosen mainly from the APC and the PDP. As she has the right to have dinner, so does she have the right on who to invite or not. And so she wants to have dinner with these people across the board. And at this time, you ask yourself, in your inner research, you ask yourself, what is this dinner supposed to achieve? Secondly, what are the implications of this dinner? How will it be read by other people? If it was the APC aspirants alone, then you'd be saying that, okay, it's a party thing. Her husband is a member of the party. I think by implication, she's also, and she might want to host them. But across the board, inviting others, Saraki and co, then you ask yourself, what was it meant to achieve? Now, also, as part of the invitation, we are made to understand that they are told not to come with their telephones. I've attended state functions or state things like that, and usually you are not told not to come. You're not told directly, best of all, not to come. But what you do is that you drop your phone in a bowl and you're given a tag. Okay, even some companies, when you want to go in their premises, you have to drop your phone at the reception. So I wonder the emphasis not to bring your phone. Now, what this has now done is to open this event up to mischief makers who can twist and turn the things that, the readings that people will make, get into it. Now, if I was a presidential aspirant, I'd be a bit uncomfortable and might not want to attend. I mean, given the tempo that has been reached now and the stories that can be spun. As we speak, I hear that Ashiwaju is on Umrah, Atiku, so he's not in the country. Atiku too is on Umrah. It says here is also not in the country. It says Atiku is attending Umrah and won't attend because it can't be in two places. Kwakwanso is not going, and so on and so forth. It says Kwakwanso won't attend. When contacted, the National Publicity of the New Nigeria People Party said it's presidential. Aspirant Kwakwanso will not attend the meeting. Okay, so the SDP were also then invited. But I wonder why. The first lady doesn't have a constitutional role. She's just the wife of the president. And I remember the president saying that he was not too interested in having a glorified office of the first lady. Of course, our first lady has been visible. I hope, I mean, of course, I would assume that the president had given his consent for this to happen. But the question I would need to ask is, what is it meant to achieve? Even the president did not have this iftar with these candidates. Mm. What he might do would be, at the end of the primary, of these aspirants, at the end of the primaries, when you have the candidates, it is likely that the president, and I don't think he'll be breaking fast with them, he'll be calling them to a formal meeting, you know, for the reasons of peace and, you know, tranquility during the elections, you know, sorry, not tranquility, but peace. I'm speaking like a government person now, during the elections. I think that the problem with top officials in government is they have so many advisors, but advisors don't do, advisors generally, just in a bid to keep their job, don't advise them appropriately. Mm. They study the body language, to put it in the words of my late friend Elias, who says, we don't know the mind of the judge, he's a lawyer. They look at the mind of the whatever, and instead of them to advise and put their foot down and say, no, madam, this could turn out, it could turn out to embarrass you and so on and so forth, they just tend to go ahead with this. I hope it goes on peacefully, and I hope it doesn't backfire on the First Lady, and indeed the President by extension.
Indeed. Let's go pick up page 8 of the Punch newspaper. There's this story here that says Sterling Bank's penalty will serve as warning to others. APCON.
Yes, I'm happy that I have the opportunity to, you know, to offer my own whatever about what happened to Sterling Bank. Very simply, Sterling Bank put out a note, some advert to their customers, wishing them a happy Easter. In the content, there was a lack of creative sensitivity in the content, you know, saying that as bread has risen, so has Christ risen. Now, this is what I would call a professional misconduct, you know, on the part of the agency that put it together, and on the part of whoever is the corporate advisor of the bank. But I don't think we should be throwing fisticuffs and so on and so forth over what I would call, to be honest, is a simple error. It's what I would call a genuine mistake. Genuine meaning that it was not done in any manner whatsoever to ridicule anybody. And so I don't know why it's gotten up to a point where even the CAN is saying that the bank's MD should be sacked. Mm-hmm. He might not even have seen it. It's just an advert. Why do we behave like sometimes we behave? You know, we tend to overplay things that are very simple. It's a simple lack of discretion. It's a very simple lack of discretion, done with good intent. It was the bank's whatever to the customers. And therefore, you know, this is at the days of activism, and everybody wants media attention over this and over that. I don't think, and I suspect that hidden behind it is because, to be called it bluntly, is because the MD is a Muslim. But let's be fair. It was just a simple, it was done in good faith. Lack of discretion, yes. Lack of discretion, yes. And the agency should be whipped thoroughly by APCON.
Perhaps it's because also people don't know how things like this work. They just feel that banks are the ones that are responsible for
90%.
Adverts and everything, or not even banks alone, companies.
90%
that they hear the adverts.
90% of those who have over-criticized this matter are doing it either out of mischief. They've been looking for an opportunity, you know, out of mischief. And then it's a new thing. Every little thing you do, it becomes whatever for activists. Someone was even saying, some country was saying that the bank MD should, you know, he should be fired, and was also saying something to the effect.
I saw the story.
Yeah, that Joseph Daramola, and that the advert was wicked and insensitive. Come on. Okay, Mr. Daramola, minus all that, what about the spirit, the Christian spirit for forgiveness? I mean, it's an error. Part of the problem also is that, look, just like it happens even in government here, you know, we always talk about spinning. Mm. Spinning. We have a lot of people who are not well-educated who handle things like this. They might have all the degrees in the world, but they don't have the expertise. Mm. I tell you this. When I was, they say, there he goes again. Yes, I can give my own example. When I headed corporate affairs in 87 of Lever Brothers, the rules that I gave myself is never touch anything religious. Mm. You ask for donations? No. You ask the MD to attend? No, nothing at all. These are standard rules, you know, that anybody in PR practice should know. Do not touch religion. Do not touch tribe, what I call tribal matters, for want of a better word, so we can move on.
That's where I faltered whoever that was responsible for.
Oh, the faulted
for this concept.
That's why I say they should be whipped.
It's quite insensitive.
It's insensitive. Mm. But by the same, there was no evil intent. We should look at intent and let's all be mature about these things. Mm. Why would you want to call for the sacking of them? Is it because he's a Muslim? He couldn't have. The way he works in the corporate, an advert that is going to the customers could be signed off at executive director level, even though the MD now has to take responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's always look at things from the back end. It wasn't done in any mischief whatsoever, and I'm not. Don't think I'm too ready to have an argument over this. Look, if you need to know what companies are going through these days, people who are employed there, somebody is suggesting Christians should take their money out of Sterling. But I mean, you don't need to get that far. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. So I'd like to appeal to everybody to sheath their swords. The bank has apologized. They've sent out an apology. APCON have said that they are going to sanction the agency, that designed the ad and whatever it is, and let us let it rest there and move on. There are more important things we have to deal with than things like this.
Right. Even APCON themselves, they have a blame. Because the thing is, you can't have anything on the radio without going through APCON.
Well, the agency didn't go through APCON. Yes.
How is that even possible?
Well, the agency didn't go through APCON. In Nigeria, nobody enforces any law. Even the government doesn't enforce law. So why the agency didn't go through APCON? Because I would have assumed, if I'm the man who does the vetting, as soon as I see it,
exactly.
I just throw it out.
Just flag it.
Just flag it.
That's it.
But again, it's an indictment on the bank, really. To be very honest, I'm just trying to pull back a little bit. It's an indictment on the bank. I say, if you take care of the little things, look at a simple ad to your customers, see what it has brought onto the bank.
Yep.
So the MD, if I were him, go and get a top-notch PR person to keep an eye on all these things.
Also, I think it's the craze for public acceptance, especially on the social media. That craze is there.
What you have,
everybody
is that
just wants to trend. You want to be the topic.
What you have, to be honest with you, is that like every other profession, the advertising business is also in bad shape. Even in journalism, you see spelling errors everywhere. Lawyers, the same thing. Doctors, generally, because this is what happens when you have a generation set. That are not well educated. They have all the degrees in the world, but nothing between their two eyes. Or they have a wrong attitude to the job. I must say that a lot of advertising campaigns in the first instance are not usually won on merit. It's on who knows who. But that's a whole total story. We could talk about this for the next 3 to 4 hours. But what is most important here, because I feel pain of entrepreneurs, in these current times, I feel their pain. Don't let's make a mountain out of a molehill. A mistake has been made, what I would call a genuine mistake. Fella says there are two mistakes: good mistake and bad mistake. This is a good.
you know, the irony of this is that quite a number of people believe that if it were the other way around, perhaps it won't be just a conversation for the radio or the social media alone.
No, you see, that is the problem with our people. You always stretch things beyond. What are you saying? So if it was a Muslim, if it was an ad that that Muslims found offensive, what would it be? You should stop painting people with brushes. You're a Muslim. I'm a Christian from a Muslim background. Is there any difference between us?
No, that's us.
It's a societal problem. And why should you extend the argument to that point? Anybody who sees this will know that this was an error. We all commit errors.
Yes, we do.
I mean, come on.
We're human. Nobody's perfect.
This is not something that was done deliberately to ridicule anybody. In fact, it was done in good faith. In fact, it was even done to attract the Christians. Okay? But what I call lack of discretion and maturity on the part of the person who wrote the copy, we call it the copy, and the person who designed the concept, is what it is. And I don't like stretching these things too far. What if? Oh, but it is not.
Well, it is not, Abby.
Yes.
Let's go to page 5 of the Punch newspaper. Yeah, really interesting stories to do.
Oh, yes. And thankfully, no politics.
No politics. This person says, sexual acts, detectives interrogate Chrisland, teacher's pupil's mother.
Again, since yesterday, I've also discovered that. I'm glad we're getting attention on this. But yesterday, I got a barrage of videos. Sheriff, I couldn't believe what I saw. This thing that we're accusing these students of, if the act did not actually take place, it happens at children's parties. It happens, there was one I was shown in a school. The girls were nude, half nude. They were doing some beauty contest and so on and so forth. Loads of it. Videos. So it is deeper than Chrisland, whatever. This is just an isolated case that is known. And I am going to call on the government and beg the Lagos, indeed, federal government, we must attack. It is deeper. Our people have very little contempt for sexual exposure. I've discovered that. They were filming them. There was a boy, I have one of the videos, there was a boy dancing with a girl at some kind of party, doing virtually almost what they were doing, but only with his clothes on. The boy couldn't have been more than 8. There were adults clapping. They were filming. The government needs to sit back now. The Lagos State government, at least for our own jurisdiction here, needs to sit back now with the Sexual Offences Department and say, one, they have to go on a campaign, on a serious campaign across the country. Two, across the state. Two, they have to quickly set up a hotline or some site where people can send evidence of these things happening, and they can move in very quickly, get some people who are responsible for this, and make examples out of them. It is deeper than Chrisland. It is deeper. When I was saying yesterday that I'm sure this thing happened somewhere else, I didn't know it was as bad as this. So, like I said, we need to do that very, very quickly. It's beyond calling in detectives and whatever. It's a serious social problem. The one that I've one of the videos, the women, the girls were virtually naked. And people were clapping. Young girls, 18, 17. And it looked like it was in an open space. You know, like they were school kids. You know.
But then the fundamental question here is, what led to this point that we didn't see anything wrong with these acts?
Like I said, our mindsets have been completely programmed. Our mindsets have been programmed. Look, if you live, when I was growing up in Lagos, I don't think I saw a dead body until the day my grandmother died. God remember me from Rokalaja.
That me?
You know, and I must have been about 11 or 12. These days, a child going to nursery school at 1-2 plus would see a dead body and just walk past. I say, Mommy, look, that man is dead. And, you know, there's no horror, nothing. So over time, our society has changed. The same thing applies look at responsible people. Go to some of the parties. Look at the women with their cleavages. Look at the insinuation. Look at the dances that are. Look at our musicians. Look at the way they dance insinuation on stage. These videos are all over the place. So our children think that's the way to go. Look at how many, look at the musicians, look at the Pakurumu. I mean, don't let me go personal at the point. When you have the Pakurumu, all these things, all these little things added together. Sexual innuendo in everything that we do is right there in the open.
And some parents even feel proud when their kids, their
and
babies.
And they said one has, there is one of the, it was a, the boy can't be more than 2 or 3.
Kai.
Dancing. And people were spraying him. Adults were videoing it. The girl was bent over. I'm sorry, I have to be a bit descriptive, but so you can know how bad it is. The girl was bent over, and he was dancing at behind the girl. And it was like a birthday party, you know, and they were going, oh, God, and I said, oh, my God. We have a deeper problem. It's beyond calling. Don't waste our detective's time. Honestly, don't waste. It is beyond that of one school. And by the way, I'd like to appeal to the Lagos State government. The schools that you closed, it was completely unnecessary. Can you please just open them so that other students can go about their studies? That is very, very important. I think it was a knee-jerk reaction.
Okay.
It was completely unnecessary. But now that we've established that, just let these schools open and let them. If there's any punishment you want to give the school later, when you've rounded up everything, so be it. You know? And then this idea of always closing schools. Maybe it's time we had some kind of law that would say that schools might be taken over by the government. Because when you close
as against
school,
shutting the school down.
As against shutting the school down. Maybe you have a clause that says that, look, if for any reason we find that you can't, we will take over your school. We will take over, run it. If there's any profit, we give you. If there's no profit.
Or even say that we'll take it over for some time while we train or retrain.
While we retrain. And but all this idea of shutting down military, this thing with immediate effect, shut down. It is not the proprietors that feel it more. It's the students, the teachers.
The teachers.
Proprietors don't collect school fees. Okay, so that's what it is.
And schools like that, Steph, they can even be going on their virtual whatever.
Of course, they'll go on virtual. Yeah.
Let's take the punch. Page 4 of the punch. NDLEA raids cannabis party. Arrest 200 youths in Abuja. Cannabis party.
Thank God for Buba Marwa. To be honest with you, I mean, this is one of the best governors we've had in Lagos.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt.
There's
if you're old enough, you understand that you can't even argue. You can't contest it.
Whether he's indigent or not, I will vote for him.
You can't. No, but if you are old enough, you can't contest.
See what he's been doing. What he's been doing since he became leader of the NDLEA. But what I hope a new president will do something. Set up a crack team, whether it's known to us or not. Set up a crack team of NDLEA, EFCC, the member of the DSS, maybe the police, and the FIRS, and whatever. And you begin to go after some of the people in these videos who are doing these all kinds of practices. We must reform our society. Throwing money in the air, even to the point of buying a toy gun that shoots money. While you're doing that, then let's have a campaign to, you know, to try and reorientate our people to better living. Better living standards, well done. Kudos to this. He arrested the 200 Jews. They all have a case to answer. And
Cannabis party. It's all right.
The
Nation is our next paper. Page 11 of The Nation. Orlando Julius, 1943.
Orlando Julius is one other genius that I believe was not given full recognition in his lifetime. Orlando Julius is a musician. He was in the same in the era of Fela and Fela's almost I think they were age mates. And there's a nice editorial written for him here in The Nation. A few things though. All of you will probably know a song credited to Lamont Dozier. Our woman Ranti Leo Ishe Dale was a big music. He won a Grammy during Festac. Credited to Lamont Dozier, but really it was Orlando Julius who put that song together. The story goes that they put it together, they composed it together, but I think Lamont Dozier got the credit. So it was so sad. Orlando did some collaboration with top musicians, James Brown, and so on and so forth. This editorial, nice editorial, but it's a bit defective. It says that. That he says here, it is worth mentioning that it was because of Orlando Julius that Fela and Nicola Kukuti learned to play the sax. No, Fela used to play the trumpet. And I have it, he had one saxophone, it's called Igochiko. And he had two, Igochiko and YS. Okay, so one day, Igo Ahead was a bit temperamental. And during some kind of whatever, Igochiko took the trumpet, blew it, took the sax, blew it, then gave Fela the sax and said, come play and make it see, you know. That's how Fela started playing the saxophone, just to put the records right. But it's a nice tribute to him. Fans of Orlando, some of the songs that he composed that we remember him for.
Yeah.
Mark Pami, Topless, Ise Owo, Bujubari, Ololufe, and so on and so forth. This Ololufe is very good for toasting. Needs to.
If they will understand, they will understand.
Ah, very honestly. I'm so happy about today's program that at least we're avoiding all this brickbat in politics and so on. And people should just have that attitude before you have a seizure.
I was telling somebody today on Twitter, go and drink water.
Look, don't kill yourself. These people. Okay. Two things I wish could happen. Not that I think is right, but I wish all of them would attend. And somebody would secretly video what's going on. Yeah. You see them backslapping and people want to kill yourself.
Cracking up and...
Today's Friday, my friend.
Yes, it is Friday.
Let me go and enjoy. Have I finished?
No, we have one more.
Really? My Lord.
We have one more. Let's just drop this one. Dropbox service now available for students seeking visa renewal, says US Embassy.
Well, that's information. We put this here just for the information, really. That there's a Dropbox service now. If you're a student, you don't need to keep going, to in and out of the embassy. You can make use of the Dropbox going to the United States of America.
Okay. We are done now. We have to go. What's coming up at 9?
At 9, I love young people who are, who are very productive. Young lady, about 28. Her father died. He had a furniture shop. I don't think she knew much about furniture.
Okay.
And she's now running the business. And she's doing it quite well.
Oh.
I said, this is an inspirational story. I'm going to stay away from politics for a while. I cannot be drinking paracetamol for other people's headache. You need to realize that the issues that are in contention now have nothing to do with you. They are talking of loyalty. They are talking of it should be given to somebody as for loyalty, all kinds of things as a present and so on. It doesn't concern you. What concerns you is when they finally produce the candidate.
Yeah.
Then to try and decide which one amongst them you. So in the meantime, just sit back and enjoy the coffee. Mm. Go watch Arsenal and Chelsea.
Manchester United. We are beating Chelsea. Those ones are not club. We won. Sorry, Gwenga. Sorry. Gwenga,
is it Chelsea? I've stopped being a fan of any club, but I'd love to watch Liverpool play.
They're really good. But we have to go now. Gwenga is here with the news. Many thanks to you for being here. But at 8 o'clock, we have Double Barrel Conversation coming. Stay here.
When opportunity knocks, doing answers.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.